Welcome back to DC Cinematic Minute, the daily podcast where we analyze Zack Snyder's Justice League by each individual minute. My name is Nathan. You can find me on all social media at NoClutchNate.
And my name is Mark. You can find me on all social media at Mark Meadows.
And today we are talking about minute number 197, part 6, Something Darker. And the minute's going to start out with the Batman being ejected from his Batmobile, and the minute's going to end with Batman shooting a big old gun.
Yeah.
Come at me with your hate mail. I said Batman and gun in the same sentence.
He do be shooting a lot of guns in this minute. This is quite the action minute that we have here.
You know, we've been talking. Check this out. This is quite an action minute. But listen, so like, if you think about it, like Batman is just using the tools that, you know, man has gone and created, right? Because that's what he's supposed to represent and everything. Yeah. So like, if you guys were to say like, okay, cool, and let's do time in the Batman, let's toss this guy back to when projectiles was just bow and arrow. What do you think Batman was doing? He had a bow and arrow. There's even times where Batman's got a crossbow. 0 year. I mean, if you're getting upset about Batman and a gun, and then you look at Batman with a crossbow and go, that's it. You're like, well, that's the same thing. It's just, you know, the older version. It's the one before. So, like, what are you doing here? Take it a little bit further. If Batman was chucking spears, you'd be like,
He throws a batarang.
Yeah, right?
It's a projectile.
So
it's a projectile.
So Batman and guns. It's synopsis because Batman is that of man's world, you know? Yeah,
synonymous.
He's what did I say?
Synopsis.
I said synopsis?
Yeah, symbolism.
Symbiote.
Synonymous.
I knew what word in my head. That's why I'm so confused, because in my head I said.
No, I got gotcha. You. It's okay.
What is it? Brain synonymous. Synapse. They're not working.
Anemone.
Friends like okay. These.
But yes, what is, some people are like, oh, it's not a gun, it's a self-defense tool.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, incel. let me see your collection of self-defense tools. And then, like, you should probably be on a watch list because this guy's obviously self-defending a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Who painted the target on your back?
Yeah, and they pray for the days they have to self-defend themselves. Like,
man,
I hope one day I get to use this and say I was using it for self-defense. Like, okay, bro.
What kind of justification? Jeez, be better, people. Come on.
Whatever you can do to evolve. As long as you can say stand your ground, then you're good.
I hate this state. Terrifies me. It terrifies me sometimes.
But yeah, so, I mean.
I don't U-turn into people's driveways anymore. Uh-uh.
Batman picked up a gun, went to someone's house, Perjornov, and started shooting parademons and said he was standing his ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We tried to do that in the 70s, and everybody got mad.
Rightfully so. So we'll see here in the beginning, like, the Batman in the ejector chair. And we talked about it yesterday that he got ejected from the Batmobile. And we said, you know, it's a comic booky shot. It is what it is. You have to, like, love it for what it is. And then in this minute, it continues. So he's still in the chair, which is very funny looking. But I was right when I said it's cool when you exit from the chair. And they nailed it.
They nailed it because I think it looks extremely natural. And a lot of it. And it's weird because we get it like a. You know, it's a shot that goes at an upward angle, and we get the back and butt of the bat. Back and butt. So, with rockets. Anyway, so it's not like the same angle as the ejector seat in last minute. And it's this exit shot that we're seeing. And I'm curious as to why they chose this angle to showcase such another badass move. And I think it's just because, like, that's it, it, like I said, it makes most sense to me. It seems like it's most natural way of doing it. Because if we were looking at the same angle, you know, pointed upwards, looking at Batman while he was sitting in the seat, and parademons were coming from, you know, over the viewer's shoulder, our shoulder, into the frame, and he would grapple out towards us. Now we're talking 3D. Why wasn't there a 3D yes, version of this movie?
That's, but it's exactly it. I'm gonna let you finish your thought, and then I'll
keep on the 3D one, because I'm done with the 3D part. You pick up the 3D part. What I really wanted to pick up was the way that Batman's body naturally acts as he is leaving this ejector seat, and it's that of the same thing that my body does when I ride Dr. Doom's Fearfall here at Universal Orlando Resort. not related. But yeah, my legs kick up because it does that zero G moment, you know, and you can't control anything, and it's awesome. That's why you ride it. But his legs, like, do a little kick up as he is, like, you know, grappling out of the chair, and it just looks so cool. It looks the same amount of cool as when he was running away from Doomsday and he was doing the Frank Miller, you know, cover page of the lightning behind him. But even before that, or rather after that, he was on the catwalk or the fire escape. Do you remember? And he got knocked to the fire escape, got up, smoke grenade, and then leaped, like, classic video game ninja evading kind of thing. It's like, oh yeah, you're just going back to your basic training stuff right now. Like, this is what you learned from the monks. Like, this is cool.
This is what we call the bread and butter.
Yeah, that's like what, and this right here, this moment of Batman in just exiting the ejector seat into him landing on the ground and doing his forward assault. Like, this is my bread and butter out of this movie. I love it so much. And I don't know if it's just like that kid in me where it's like, damn, that's a really cool Batman moment.
Very
similar to the warehouse scene, but the warehouse scene is, you know, that's on another level. But this one is very sci-fi Batman cool, where it's like, damn, there's so much CGI here, but it's such a muted and darker colors that you can't really tell that anything looks fake, rather than it's just all CGI. So in my head, the motion capture just works really well. I see my Caped Crusader doing some cool fighting moves and using gadgets, and it's just, I'm in hog heaven. I'm in bat heaven.
Yeah,
that's like, so that's just Bela Lugosi hanging out.
It's an evolution to Batman ejecting from the Batmobile in cinema, because, you know, in previous Batman films, it was the suspense, the release from the tension, that it was like Batman was in a predicament, and then he's able to then escape, whether it's a Batmobile or a Batwing in some of the Burton and Schumacher films. Like, that's the release, is that, oh, he gets out of the situation unscathed, and we all applaud that. And then only the Dark Knight kind of plays with it by saying he'll eject from the Batmobile, and then he begins a new scene with the Batpod. And in this one, it's like, well, we did all our cool Batmobile stuff, he's going to eject out of it, but we're not done feasting on action, which is like, how do we then go eject but keep the momentum? And that's what you see here, is that momentum. And so, like you said, Nate, there's a 3D thing here, which is why they went with this particular shot. And so you'll see the ejector seat is going up the y-axis, and then he'll fly across the x-axis, and then the parademons are coming from the z-axis, which is towards us. So, like, it's a very well orchestrated shot of, like, up, sideways, and then the parademons, they knew that they were going to anti-air Batman in this moment, but he is smarter than that, so he'll kind of sidestep them, and then they'll end up attacking nothing but the chair.
Yeah.
Which is a really, really, really cool shot for how to kind of deal with like this. Well, Batman exited the seat, but how do we stay cool about it? And it's like, well, this is how creative we'll be. We'll just, you know, now comes the grappling gun. You know, we said the G word again. Yeah. So apparently Enzo attacked the seat, and it's a very cool, very cool moment.
And it's just like also a very cool, like I said, I keep on saying it because he is. It's a very cool ninja-esque move where you have like the decoy. You know, mm-hmm. you throw the cloak out, you go to attack that, and you're on the other side of it, you know, or you know, you're doing something else. You got your counter ready.
That's ninjutsu right there.
That's ninjutsu. And he's doing just that. It's like, oh, this is the Justice League Batman that I want, but it's not, but he's just doing it alone. So like my argument's invalid because it's like, well, that's not a Justice League Batman. That's just Batman doing a Batman thing in a Justice League movie. It's like,
this is.
Yeah, you're right. Batman. I think that's what I want.
this minute here is the Batman. Like, this is the Batman that you wanted to see. And you'll
this
see
is Batman versus aliens.
Yeah, this is like Injustice Batman gameplay. He'll do like the grapple. He'll come and kick someone, and then you see all this cool action stuff. Like, this isn't Warehouse Arkham Batman, but it is. It feels more Injustice Batman than it does Arkham Batman. And I'm speaking video game logic because you'll see like these anti-air moves, this like traversal. You'll see a dodge roll, throw a projectile, blow up a parademon. Like that whole sequence there, which is not in the theatrical cut, which is wild, because it's so cool. It's like this moment here, seeing it in the Snyder cut, when we were watching this, and I saw just that moment there where he's grappling down from the skies. Very comic book shot. We love to see that Batman silhouette when he's grappling. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter what movie it is, what comic book. When you see that kind of grapple Batman cape open thing, it reminds me of like, you know, when Greg Capullo did that where he's fighting the Red Hood mask gang, right? And he's near the billboard and he's got like the purple silhouette underneath the cape. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember
he's
that.
He's like fighting near a billboard or something.
Yeah.
And Greg Capullo always did it so great. He would draw it just like that, like grapple, big Batman silhouette, symbol, cape, action. And like that right there that we see in this minute, like that's the beauty. But it goes from there to landing. And then you see like him land and the cape kind of swooshing. And it's just like, that's awesome. That is so cool. And then the dodge roll, like dodge the fire, keep going. And now you have like a war movie shot, like storming the trenches. Like Batman's like, I've got to still keep going forward. So I've landed, dodge, keep going forward, I don't know what it is, the explosive, and then the parademon blows.
the pumpkin grenade, the pumpkin bomb.
Yeah, exactly. Bat bomb.
Bat bomb. There you go.
Mm-hmm. It's a move in Injustice.
He was watching. Dude watches a lot of Pokemon. Yeah.
Back 2-3. That's what the move is.
Back 2-3 where he throws. Yeah, but doesn't he throw? He throws more than one.
He uppercuts with the batarangs, and then there's a bomb on the floor when he leaves.
Yeah,
blows the enemy up. Yep. Yeah, it's just a really cool shot that we're looking at again.
So, yeah, I keep on replaying it. The motion is just seamless, you know? And like you said, why didn't this one stay in all versions of this movie? I don't know. Mm-hmm. My immediate thought is like, oh, well, maybe it, you know, wasn't finished. But that's
because
wrong.
Because the parademon gets chunked is why.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe it was like, okay, that's too brutal. It's like, really? That's where we're drawing the line at?
Yeah, I'm
at
pretty sure
one-on-one
your other
combat
movie
with Batman? Because that's, like, that is brutal. You've seen it brutal. The dude, like, beats people to a pulp.
But I was going to say, in the Avengers, does Hulk not, like, crush a Chitauri alien head in his hand?
And yeah, like, and he smashes those things' heads into buildings. Like,
yeah. We were okay with that.
We were okay with that. And, Yeah, I guess what? In Ultron, they learned from their mistakes. They were like, we got to make them all robots.
But, oh my God, same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. And and then the main villain had his heart ripped out by someone who had a thirst for revenge.
It was witchcraft, dude. It was witchcraft. It was fake.
But we didn't tell someone, hey, don't act on your revenge. Instead, the movie was like, no, it's okay. The character can do it. They can kill Ultron that way.
Well, I mean, and yeah, it's totally fine. She's the villain.
Yeah, she's a villain now.
She always is.
Always is.
Always is, baby. She's the Scarlet Witch. She's like, you know, she's literally a demon witch.
There, I think what's so strong about this scene, the sequence for Batman, is that it's this, you know, like it's translation of momentum. Like we went from Batmobile and all this action to like ejector seat and keep the momentum, land on there, do the dodge roll, attack the parademon. Like that's all the same. There's a tempo to it. And as far as like editing and choreography, like it keeps the momentum going. Whereas last week when we talked about the flying fox and dropping the team off and crashing it and getting the Batmobile and then struggling with the Batmobile until the team arrives, that all had like this, we're trying to get the motor started, but it's not there, you know, it's keep turning it over. It's not clicking. And now we're in it. So now we're cooking. Now we've got, you know, what's the phrase? Now the rubber's on the pavement.
Oh,
no, I'm just trying to keep it more automobile. And
the pedal is to the metal.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're good. So that's what's happening here. The Aquaman stuff, from the first time I ever watched it, I felt that this is unfinished. So I had a little bit of criticism here, but I don't know if maybe I just can't see it correctly. But the Trident works in ways that I feel like it should not work or should not even be physically possible to operate. And so you'll see first here with Jason Momoa or his Aquaman, and you start calling him Arthur Curry incorrectly, but he'll kind of fork down the ground and like push himself off of it. And I always felt like the Trident with torque and like the lever action, like there would be no way to like push off exactly like that the way that he does it. And the way that, talking like CGI, the Trident stabbing into the ground just never looked like, it just looks like two polygons. Do you know what I'm trying to say here? Like, it looks like just two models like passing through each other.
Yeah, I get what you mean. And I want to say that I'll try to argue for it. So I don't know culture. So if this is like an actual legit fighting move that you do with a trident or with a long melee weapon, mm-hmm. That it's not so much as using the trident to push yourself off, because remember, Aquaman can jump. This guy's got ups and he's got mm-hmm. a lot of power. This isn't the first time that he did this. When they were coming out of the building that they exploded, or when they were going towards the building that they exploded, Aquaman did the same spear jump. So I don't know if that's like an actual like martial art move for that weapon. It very well could be, or it could be something attributed to Maori maybe, and their weapon usage, because it could be very traditional. And it's not so much as, the way I see it, it's like it's not so much as like a strong attack. It's more of like, I don't know if what the correct word is other than like flair and fancy footwork kind of thing. Cause like obviously the attack is here in this minute, it is the spear throw or the trident throw. Physically going from slamming down and using that, you know, as like a javelin to launch yourself up to get enough air to then bring your arm back up in a throwing position while you're also closing the gap between your target. Yeah, physically, I don't necessarily think that this attack would work, particularly with just his proximity to his targets. I don't think he has enough time.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that he doesn't have super speed out of water, so it's not like it was like a wah, and you know, his relative motion is sped up and everything else is slowed down kind of deal. It's not like we're Wonder Woman where she got hit by the big cannon blast and probably was, you know, her relative motion was a lot slowed down, but it was able to give her that backwards momentum to then thrust up with the sword in the correct position to cut that parademon in half as she was flying back.
Yeah.
You know, she obviously can do stuff with time and everything anyway, or, you know, she's fast. So anyway, point being is I don't know if it's an actual form for this weapon. And I want to say that I think it is, because I don't think that would just be a cool flair that a director would say, that's your tool, what are you going to do with it? And him go, oh yeah, let me just jump off of it, without like prior knowledge of that form or that move, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it could be traditional, but I agree with you. Physically, it doesn't necessarily work, but also... this dude can break rules of physics so, when it comes to combat.
I will say that, yeah, it's a cool idea. You know, it's just as far as action goes, you sometimes have to not think too much about it. I think it could work for, you know, what this magical trident is and being Aquaman. What I'm saying is I don't think that it's necessarily finished. And we see it again here when Aquaman throws the trident and impales two parademons. That all looks fine and dandy and looks really cool. But when he jumps up and he steals the trident back out of them, he does it in such a way that it doesn't look like that trident should have come out of that rock so cleanly. And then you'll see him kind of hold the trident down to the floor, and it just doesn't look like it's... like there should be room for that trident to touch the floor.
Yeah, the sizing of it does look like it changes in the CGI of it.
Yeah.
Like as he pulls it out and then when it goes to stationary on the ground.
Yeah, he pulls it out so fast it looks almost fake, like it's not really there. Like he might have been holding on to like just a green baton.
Yeah.
And they said we'll put the trident there later because you really could not pull that trident out because it's so awkwardly long. Like, there's just no way you'd be able to physically hold that trident like that. So they're like, here, hold this green baton. We'll do it in post. You'll just grab that little piece there. And then he'll smack this parademon, like, almost like a fly swatter to a bug. He'll just, like, swat this parademon. And when he's done smacking that parademon, he'll lay the trident down. And I'm pretty sure... it's so long that it's in the ground. Like when we talk about polygons and like fake assets and video game stuff, like it's passing through the ground because it's so long that I think it's one of those like cinematic errors where it's just like the trident's way too long, bro. You can't do that. Do you see what I'm talking about? When you pause it and you look at his foot, like, the trident, you can't see it because the stem is poking into the ground.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I get that. And you know, it'd be something that I'd only notice doing minute by minute. I don't think I ever got that effect when I was watching the movie, but I also remember not picking up on Cyborg shooting the parademon. And it's not Aquaman hitting him, or maybe it's both. Maybe it's both of them hitting it, but it also gets sonic blasted. It seems like Cyborg is. Yeah, that's a Cyborg.
Is it?
Oh, maybe not.
He's just hitting it with
Wow. Yeah, it is just hitting it, and it does the magical trident waves.
He thought Cyborg stole that kill.
Yeah, 100%. And I remember us having this conversation
before.
You
said that, and I believed you for a moment, because I was like, oh, wait, did he? Because, you know, in the very next shot,
We've had this conversation before.
He's flying down, and it's like, oh, maybe he did steal it. But no, yeah, it's still Aquaman hitting the parademon. But yeah, totally. I could totally see that. I could see that confusion.
We had this conversation before off mic. A while ago. I'm remembering it because the scene sticks out.
I always bring up the trident thing because that trident part right there where he puts it down after swatting the parademon and it's going into the ground, I saw that day one and went, because I felt like, unfortunately, with all the, you know, talk, buzz about this movie and it being finished, quote unquote finished, things like that stood out to me where it's like, is this a finished movie? Because it looks fantastic. Like, how did they finish this movie? How did they finish, quote unquote, this movie? And then seeing something like that, I was like, maybe they didn't. Maybe they did the best they could. Which is still phenomenal. But like that part right there, I always think about, because that trident physics there always throws me off. And again, it's just one of those things where you have to be like, it's a comic book movie. Don't think about it so much. But like, when I think of cinematic errors, I think of this moment right here where it's like, at some point, we have to rethink this. But yeah, it works. He does this cool little thing. And he smacks a bunch of parademons with the trident. We see what we're seeing right now in this moment is them reaching the castle. And so with Batman and Aquaman, they've stormed the keep, and you know, Batman with his ninjutsu. So you have the ninja, he's infiltrated, and then you have kind of like the knight, which is like Aquaman, and now he's in there. And so you have different classes for these different, you know, this kind of raiding party. And then now you'll see, like, they send the rogue to go do what it needs to do, and that's the Flash being a speedster and setting up the charge.
Yeah.
And then we'll see. It's a cool little Flash bit with the way he runs. It's like that's kind of what we want to see, is him starting to build that charge. We see this really cool electric running, this little spark going. I think that's really cool. I enjoy it. I know a lot of, you know, people have their preferences about how speedsters run, but I like the lightning bolt. I think it's in for the context of this third act, for what he needs to do, the lightning is very important, the charge. So like, we want the electric running, we want to see the electricity, because that electricity itself is important for what they're trying to do. So cinematically, I think this is a great decision for the way that we're going to illustrate the running, the speed running. And it's just really cool that he like runs through this little power plant, this little electrical field.
That's also just another really cool fact where it's like, oh yeah, so he needs to be the charge to go through the circuit to charge the battery, kind of thing. So putting it in like the power plant is like, that's really cool. It's also, you know, very reminiscent of, I don't know, like microchip and electricity and whatnot. So
yeah,
very visually, it's extremely pleasing. It's kind of, I thought it was a really cool bit that the knights made it to the castle doors and then they send the rogue out. It's like, yeah, job's done. Like, we got here, now you can go. Without even second thought of like, how do they get inside? You know, that's another thing. But also, break the wall. Yeah. So
yeah, you can do whatever you want now.
Yeah.
And then we'll cut over back to Batman, and so now we go back to a Justice League Batman shooting a lot of guns. So he'll shoot a regular parademon rifle and then go to grab like kind of like the anti-air turret to start shooting more parademons. And I don't know what else to say about this other than what we said at the beginning of today's episode. It's just like, apparently it's okay. Apparently he can do this.
I mean, yeah, he's doing it. He's doing it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it makes me think that like maybe he should be shooting out bigger targets with the bigger gun, but there's not bigger targets to be had, you know. Mm-hmm. There's no drop ships, there's no tank.
Yeah, no reinforcements, like no big ships or anything. It's just all parademons. No. Yeah.
They all got there through boom tube. They didn't have spaceships there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no spaceship. That's a good call. No vehicular combat.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. I do like there's a shot where he gets the turret and then he fires one blaster bolt at a parademon, and I love the smoke effect of the parademon exploding. It almost looks real, almost looks like a Star Wars explosion.
Yeah.
It's a really nice cloud, nice little plume of smoke that happens when that parademon explodes, and it's this nice little pinkish cloud that happens, and I always love cloud physics or smoke. You know, I always love that in movies. Like anytime I see an explosion, it's really like the smoke effects. I think look really cool.
This does kind of look like that. The smoke, the fog does look real. So maybe it's just, you know, green screen, and it's got a shelf on the green screen, and there's a fog machine just in that distance, and he points.
Yeah.
He's just pointing at areas where like the smoke machines are, because the smoke does look very real.
Yeah, it's probably Richard Cetron, since we don't really see Ben Affleck in this moment. Maybe it's just Richard Cetron as Batman doing these little cool things, and it's a real posable turret. They probably use this turret for every shot that's been in the movie with one. So they built one real, and they've been doing all these little action pieces with it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I remember seeing it on a picture on like Twitter of this cannon.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, it's a real cannon.
Yeah. And then they, yeah, like you said, Nate, they just put fireworks in the back of the soundstage, and then, you know, action, and then this one pops, and then you point at this one, and then that one pops, and yeah, and they just, you know, kind of make it look pretty in post. Yeah, it's very well done. I wanted to talk a little bit about the silhouette of Batman from behind, because I noticed it in yesterday's minute in the Batmobile, but forgot to mention it. And then in this, we see him where he's firing the cannon. And we've talked like not so much being a fan of the new cowl of the Batman, but from behind, this looks like Batman, you know? Like,
yeah.
This is a really good Batman silhouette that we have here.
Yeah, I agree. From behind, he looks great. Up front, angry cat.
Absolutely. No, it looks really, really good. Really nice shoulders, cape work. He looks like an action figure.
Yeah. But I wouldn't buy the action figure.
Okay.
Too bulky.
I was going to say, wait, do you have the action figure or not?
No, not of this end sequence Justice League one. I got Dawn of Justice Batman action figures. Like designer ones from the Icon set and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought you did have this one.
No, I do not have this Batman as a figure. All right, well, we're going to wrap up for today. If you've enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review. It really does help the show and helps new listeners discover the show as well. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, you can find us on Twitter at DCEUMinute. And if you'd like bonus content, we have a Patreon for just $3 with tons of other podcasts to listen to. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you here next time on DC Cinematic Minute.